Hello, ladies. Happy Tuesday. Let me get all my stuff together here. Actually, I'm going to put this over here. I'm trying to get a little bit of a cold, so I apologize in advance if I cough a little. I will try not to. I hope you guys are all well. We are getting deluged with rain. Ken's been asking people, did you build the ark? let me know if you can hear me okay. Make sure my earrings aren't hitting the microphone. If they do, let me know. All right, everybody can hear me. So, who wants to be coached tonight? If you want to be coached, you can raise your hand. I will call on you and bring you up onto screen. If you have questions for each other, use the chat. I probably won't check that much. If you have questions for me and it's just a quick question you don't want to be online for, you can put it in the Q&A. So that's the rules for office hours. I see we got somebody ready to be coached. We have Riley. Calling you up now.
Hello.
Riley, I can't see you.
I know, I'm trying to do it. I have to leave the meeting to get it to set up for some reason. I'll be back.
Okay. All right. I'll call somebody else and then get you next. All right, Megan. We'll try you next. Megan, I can't see or hear you. This is so weird.
You see me now?
No.
I was asked you to start your video. Okay.
Oh, there you are. Don't touch anything.
Okay, this is my first one.
Oh, well, hi.
And I'm so proud of myself for being the second one. Oh, that's good. Okay. So, and I should look here, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Hi, here. What's up?
Megan, nice to meet you, Kathy.
It's nice to meet you
for a long time.
Okay.
So my question is that what I'm finding, or I'm doing a challenge, well, the challenge that you take 10 minutes, you eat half, and then you take 10 minutes and you journal about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've worked through the fear of, I'm not going to have enough food. I'm going to starve to death, you know, in the future. I've worked that out.
Good.
But what I'm coming to is that I want to make sure I eat enough that, I don't have to have a snack. It's like, I feel like snacks are like the devil, and like, I cannot, like, you should not have a snack.
Why?
I know. I don't know why. I have journaled about it. Part of it is I feel like snacks are unhealthy. Your meal should supply you with everything that you need to do. Back in the olden days, they didn't have that much snacks, so you just ate what you could, and then that was it.
Mm-hmm. Back in the olden days, I've heard Corinne say this, back in the olden days, they only ate once or twice a week. Because they had to go and kill their game.
Yeah. Mm.
So they had to like eat everything they could so that, you know, they overstuffed themselves because they didn't know when their next meal was coming.
That's a good point.
I bet you know when your next meal is going to be.
Definitely. Okay. And it's not like I'm anywhere where I can't get to food, right? Like,
right.
I know that logically.
So okay.
I'm trying to go. So then that leads me to the snacks are unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So snack foods are bad for you. Snack foods. But then it goes back to what you're eating, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
a ding dong is probably unhealthy, right. An unhealthy snack.
But right? Even if you say, I want chocolate almonds, mm-hmm. That's better than ding dong.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard her say also before something like, what did she say? She said something like, well, would you still eat it if it was broccoli?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what I should say every time I want a snack.
Well, here's the thing.
That would stop me in my tracks.
Let's address first that snacks are bad, okay? If you're truly eating 2 to 2, you're going to get hungry about every 4 hours, okay? So a snack time is roughly midday, and dinner time is roughly 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. You're probably going to get hungry around, 4:30, something like that.
About what I'm doing.
If you're truly 2 to 2, okay? So at that point, you can decide whether, a snack benefits you or not. If you're okay with being hungry till 6 o'clock, there's nothing wrong with that. If you want to eat a little bit of a snack, just enough so that you're back to -2 by dinner time, there's nothing wrong with that either. Okay?
Hey.
So the next step then is to choose the proper snack. All right. Ding dongs, we've already decided are probably not your best choice. Chocolate almonds are probably okay. Regular almonds are probably a level up. Okay. But be careful with nuts, because just a few of those, it only takes a few of those to fill you up, right? You get a big handful of nuts and you're not going to be hungry the rest of the night, probably. You said broccoli. I call it the apple test, because that's how I lost my weight. I would always have apples in my house, and I would say, I think I need a snack. If an apple didn't sound good, then I knew I wasn't physically hungry.
That's good.
Okay. So, but if an apple was, yep, I need an apple, I'm hungry, then I would eat the apple. Okay. So, you can use apple test or broccoli test or carrot stick test, whatever it is that you want to do. But that's usually a good key, a good clue to you to know whether or not you're physically hungry. If you're hungry for a particular food, it's not physical hunger. That's a craving. That's an urge. Gotcha. Right?
Okay. So I'm reviewing.
Okay.
One, you have to figure out, if you're eating 2 to 2, you're probably going to get hungry at 4 anyways, because it only lasts 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
2, is your choice if you want to eat a snack, and if so, how much of that snack, so you can still be hungry at around dinner time if that's what you want to do.
Right.
If you want to test if you're really hungry or not, you do the apple test. I like that much better than broccoli. And 3, okay, so my last one would be sitting with hunger. I have figured out I'm not going to die of starvation.
Right.
Big, big drama there. But my thought process now is you do want to sit with that hunger because it's going to eat your fat. And what I'm finding is that I go too far. And then I don't care, and I eat whatever I want. That goes back to I'm avoiding the snack because I'm going to choose the wrong thing. Then I'm going to play with the hunger, let it eat my fat, and then it's like, who cares?
Okay, so a couple of things are happening here. Physiologically, I love that word. Okay, I'm gonna teach you about your body for a minute.
Okay.
True hunger is going to come on nice and slow, and it's going to ebb and flow a little bit. It's not going to go, I'm a little hungry. Oh my gosh, I'm going to eat the house. Okay. That's urgent hunger. That's emotional, stressed out. I think I'm going to die hunger. Okay.
Right.
If you get to -2 and you sit there for a little bit, you might notice that your hunger backs back off to -1. Or even to 0, and then goes back to -2, it might go up to -3, it might come back to -2. It'll ebb and flow for a little while before it just starts really escalating up the scale. Okay, an hour and a half is not enough time for it to ebb and flow before it escalates up the scale, most likely. Okay,
an hour and a half is not enough time for it to ebb and flow.
No, it will ebb and flow in an hour and a half. It's not going to take you to -6 in an hour and a half.
Gotcha.
Unless you're like have some insulin, diabetes, something or other, yeah, all that stuff aside, just normal, everyday physiology, it's going to ebb and flow a little bit. Think about these hunger scale challenges that we did. If you, those days that people left off breakfast and didn't eat till lunchtime, they weren't at like -6 and -8 by lunch, and they hadn't had anything to eat since the night before. Okay. So what happens, the reason it ebbs and flows is because your body tunes into the fat stores. Okay. So you hit -2, -3, your body says, looks like we're not eating. We'll take a little bit off the right hip. Satisfies for a minute or two, and then it goes, then it moves back and says, are we hungry again yet? Are we going to eat yet? You see what I'm saying? So that's what's happening, is the hunger kind of goes away because your body's tapping into its storage tanks.
How long would that take?
It's going to depend on you. it's just going to depend on you. I wouldn't, you know, I'm not a faster, an intermittent faster or anything like that. It doesn't interest me. I lost my weight without it. Some people love it. Some people think it's great. So it's just going to depend on what, on your own body and how fast it metabolizes.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I, you know, play with it if you want to, or don't, if you don't want to, either is fine. But I would definitely use the Apple test when it came to a snack though.
All right. It's
very telling. Okay. Oh, my earrings are hitting. Okay. I'll take them out. Thank you, Candy. Does that help?
Yes, it does. I think I'm good. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. I'm good. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. See ya. Oops. I almost hit end meeting. That would have been not so good.
Not good.
No, not good. It's all distracted by my earrings. Amber. Oh, Riley. I'm going to take you next since you raised your hand. Hang on, Amber. I'll get you after that. Riley's back. Yeah, there you are.
Hey.
Hey. I love your name.
Oh, thank you. So I'm praying for a couple different things while I visit. I'm hoping that my dogs don't go bananas. I've got yappies. So, and then I'm hoping I don't cry because, yeah.
Well, I'm hoping I don't cough. So.
Okay, we're good then.
Oh, we have a little feedback. Okay, go ahead.
So I am having a very hard time as of late getting a hold of overeating behavior and like almost like binge behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I have gained back 7 pounds that I had lost, which is really upsetting to me. I'm having a lot of emotions and difficulty kind of sitting with my emotions instead of eating. I recently graduated from college with my master's, and I had this story that I had worked up in my head that when I graduated, then I was going to get a great job, and financially I was going to be okay, and I was going to have more time to do the things that I want to do. So part of those things came true. I got a job that I would say is my dream job, basically. But it's only 30 hours a week, and I've had to revert back to doing social work, which was what I was trying to get away from. So I'm having to work two jobs right now. I have a son that has Tourette's syndrome and has some other stuff that's going on with him. He's 13. My 16-year-old has got depression and is, well, 16. And then my mother's not in the greatest of health. So I get very overwhelmed and just feel very out of control. And I've been doing a lot of eating to try and cope.
Does eating help?
Oh yeah.
Eating help you cope? How does it help you cope?
Distracts me. And
so it doesn't help you cope. It distracts you.
Yeah.
It doesn't fix. What's it fixing for you?
Well, it doesn't fix anything.
Mm-mm. It actually contributes to your overwhelm. You know why?
Why?
Because you're not doing anything.
That's true.
You're just eating. You're not seeking any resolutions. You're not looking for a job. You're not spending time with your kids. You're eating instead of resolution seeking. I'm just going to call it that. Resolution seeking sounds so good, right?
The thing is I don't want a new job because I love this job so much. I don't want to leave it because it's like exactly perfect. It's like if I could design my dream job, minus there's just not, I'm missing about $1,000 of income that I need.
Okay.
So I have to work the second job and I
do you have to work that particular second job?
No.
No. How many hours a week are you working?
Well, I'm supposed to be working 10, but because of the kind of social work it is, they don't pay you for like your driving and your documentation, a bunch of other banana stuff. So on paper, I work 10, but it's probably closer to 15 or even.
Okay. Do you have other options?
Probably, but I feel like I'm like kind of on a treadmill. I just keep trying to. You know, just keep up with what I've got. And so it's hard for me to be like, okay, now I'm getting off the treadmill. Now I'm going to look for a job and do some other things.
And in the middle of all that, you're eating to distract yourself.
Yes.
So if you could take the eating away, what could you be doing instead of eating? If you, let's just say, you know, for the next couple of days, there's no overeating. Let's pretend there's no overeating. What could you do instead of eating, overeating?
Well, I could do some things that I want to do that are enjoyable otherwise. I need to clean house because I've got house guests coming on Friday, which is probably what's going to end up doing. It just feels like all I do is like work and work in the house. It's just like nonstop. So I guess by eating, gives me permission, so to speak, to shuck it off, I guess.
Yeah. Well, eating gives you a break, whether you need one or not, right? When in fact, instead of eating, you could get the house cleaned and take a break, right? Because you know that you've gotten the house cleaned, or you've gotten your clients written up, or you've gotten your kids, you know, squared away for the night or whatever it is. You know, if you really put pen and paper to how much time you spend thinking about eating and overeating and relying on food to give you the comfort, then that's, you know, what for someone who says she doesn't have a lot of time, you know, you're spending a lot of time doing that. I learned, actually sat in on the 2-day experience in January. And one of the things I learned there that was so valuable, I mean, it's crazy how much I learned, you know, we all learned listening to Corinne coach, is that time is your most valuable asset. If you think about time as an asset for you to figure out how you're going to use, it totally changes everything, right? So I'm going on and on about time because you talked about overwhelm, and because you're spending time in overwhelm and distracting yourself eating, I wonder if that's like an hour a day or 2 hours a day or something like that, that you could be, you know, actually getting, moving into action and getting some of this stuff done so that it combats the overwhelm.
Probably would.
Does it
be?
Yeah. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, when you look at it from that perspective? I have a blanket on me here that I keep getting under my chair. But it does make a lot of sense that way, doesn't it? When you're distracting yourself, whether it's, you know, from eating or social media or something like that, you're really wasting one of your most valuable assets, especially if, you know, I don't know if you're a single mom, but you didn't mention a husband. Yeah, if you're a single mom, then it's an especially important asset, right?
Yeah, it really is. It's like the most essential thing. And I find myself being angry that I put in all this work and I'm still struggling along, I guess. You know, food isn't going to fix that, but.
Neither's anger.
No, but it's hard not to be angry. I've been through a lot and I am a little pissed off about my circumstances and that. And it, you know, I'm not trying to be a victim because that's not my thing, but yeah, I feel like I got kind of a raw deal in a lot of ways. So,
well, You can be pissed off about your circumstances. I'll give you that. But I wouldn't spend a lot of time there because then you're not dealing with the circumstances.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, you're going to have half of your thoughts and feelings a day are going to be negative. Okay. So you may as well, you know, say that they're coming, they're going to be there, they're going to show up, and then you get to decide if you're going to react to them and how. So I'm guessing when you get angry and pissed off, you eat, right? And that creates
everything.
That creates a result of not getting things done that you wanted to get done.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like this cycle. Then you have a thought, I have so much to do and I'm so angry, so I eat, and then you don't get anything done. So what if you just stop at the anger and say, you know what? All right, I'm mad. I have a bunch of stuff to do, but dang it, I'm not eating tonight because I'm going to mark at least one thing off this list. And then you put that energy into getting something done.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm not productive, because I am, but sometimes my expectations for myself are really over the top. It's like, I'm going to get everything done. And if I don't get everything done, then that's not good enough.
Mm. So is that realistic that you get everything done?
No, it's kind of like creating for anyone else.
It's kind of like creating a chicken and broccoli food plan, right?
Yeah, it's totally the chicken and broccoli.
Yeah, it's the chicken and broccoli of your productivity world.
Yeah, it's chicken and broccoli of my productivity world.
Yeah. So create a realistic. This is what I would suggest you do.
Okay.
I would time block my day. Okay. And what I mean by that is I would say, from what time do you get up in the morning?
6:30.
Okay. Let's just play with this for a minute. At 6:30 tomorrow morning, you're going to get up. How long does it take you to get ready?
About an hour, hour and a half, depending on how slow I'm moving.
Okay. So we'll give you to 8:00.
Yeah.
Okay. Get ready. What do you do at 8:00?
Get in the car and drive to work.
How long does that take?
15 minutes.
8 to 8:15. Drive. Okay. So you're at work at 8:15?
I usually get into the building about 8:30.
Okay. 8:30. How late do you work?
Usually about 2:30. And then I go to my second job around 3 by the time I get out to the car and drive to the next location.
Okay. So 3:00 to when?
I usually am done about 5, and then by the time I get home, it's around 5:30-ish.
Okay. Okay. Then what do you do at 5:30?
Dinner.
Cook or eat or both?
It depends. My mom and I split up meals. So sometimes I go to her house and we eat, or sometimes I cook.
Okay.
I'm like the luckiest woman on the planet. I shouldn't even complain.
When do you finish dinner? What, tomorrow? When are you going to finish dinner?
Tomorrow is a mess because I'm going to be at class. I teach at the college and I'm going to be in class until 7:30, and I won't get home till 8. So I'll probably eat before.
Okay. Class and dinner and home at 8. What are you going to do at 8:00?
Probably talk to my kids, hang out on the couch with them.
Okay.
Maybe empty the dishwasher, do a load of laundry.
Okay.
In bed about 10.
Okay. So if you were going to eat tomorrow, if you were going to overeat or binge or whatever it was you said you do because you get stressed, when would that be?
It'd either be when I got home from school, from teaching school, or before I went to class.
So you don't go straight from your second job to class, you go home first?
No, I go from that to class.
Okay. All right. So you would eat in the car then, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a good secret eating place.
Oh, okay. So so I see 2 hours between when you get home and bed where you get to choose what you're going to do tomorrow, right? And you told me kids, couch, housework. You said laundry and dishes and things like that, but kids, couch, housework. You can get a lot of that done in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So think about, go ahead and plan in your mind what you can accomplish in that 2 hours at home. And even if it's just time with kids, isn't mm-hmm. that okay?
Yeah, it is. They totally need me.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what you should do every day. This is what it looks like. You should do this every day so that you can find the pockets of time. There's also a pocket of time here, mm-hmm. somewhere in this area between the second job and the class that you said you eat in the car. Well, that's a pocket of time you could do something in the car. You could pay a bill. You could, have some downtime yourself, listen to a book, take some Riley time that's not eating time. You know, because, I mean, if you're fixing to have dinner, you probably don't need a snack in the car, too.
No.
Just my opinion. But you see what I'm saying? If you can tell yourself that eating doesn't create comfort, doesn't help you decompress, doesn't help you de-stress, because it doesn't, all it does is distract you, and you can turn your mind to using that eating time into things that will help you out of overwhelm, think about what a win-win that is, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, are you going to have an urge to eat? Sure. I like to call an urge a suggestion. So your brain is going to say, hey, Riley, we got half an hour. We're in the car. What do you want to do? Let's have some snacks, right?
Yeah.
So be ready with how you're going to answer your brain. Okay. Nope, today I'm not snacking. Because today I'm going to do this instead. I'm going to get this done instead.
Okay. I think that sounds like something that's very doable.
Does it?
Yeah, actually it does. Mm-hmm. You know, just focusing on what I can do. I was telling myself on my way home that I wasn't going to get stressed out about cleaning house because millions of women all over the place were cleaning their house and not having a mm-hmm. food fest in the middle of it.
Well, think about this too. If you don't have, you know, a 3 or 4 hour time block to clean your whole house.
No, I don't.
You've got 2 hours probably every night. You could do a room a night. Just put it on a rotation. I remember growing up as a kid, I had two brothers, and in the summertime, before we got to go out for the day, mm-hmm. we had to either clean the upstairs or the downstairs. Mm-hmm. You know, the bedrooms were upstairs. The living area was downstairs. And that's just how we did it. And all of us together, you know, we got it done in a couple of hours and then we went out for the day. So, you know, I was reading, have you read Atomic Habits? Oh my gosh.
Not yet.
He talks about how to create a habit with a reward at the end. You know, you create this habit and you tell yourself, if I do this, then I get to do that. Yeah. So yours could be, if I clean one room tonight, that's one room that means if I do this every night, the house stays clean. All of a sudden you're on a week's rotation because, you know, you've cleaned a room every night. Or, you know, maybe you split it into two nights or whatever. Figure out what kind of reward you can give yourself that's not food related that helps you create this new habit.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah, it does actually. Yeah. I'll just have to work on creating a reasonable workload because, you know, I grew up with, you don't play until the work is done. And so that trips me up.
Well, you get to make those rules now because you're a grown up.
Yeah, I am.
Right.
I guess I should act like it.
Well, I'm not telling you to act like a grown-up. I'm just reminding you that you get to make those rules because time is your biggest asset. You get to decide how you spend it. And you get to decide if what you're spending it on is actually moving you forward.
That's good. That's a good way to think of it. Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome. Oh, there's the dogs. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
See ya. Bye. Okay, Amber. Hello. Uh-oh. There you are.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm tiny. Oh, I'd rather see you than me. I'm doing well. How are you?
You're tiny? You must not be on gallery view.
Yeah, probably not. This is my first time, Kathy.
For real? And yeah. You've been to camp.
I have been to camp.
Mm-hmm.
I spent a lot of time doing this.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
I don't think, is that your baby? Did I know you had a baby?
That is one of my four babies. Oh. This is my 15-month-old daughter, and I have a 14-year-old son and 8.5-year-old boy, girl, twin, step kiddos.
I had no idea you had a 15-month-old when I saw you a few weeks. Oh, sweet. Yeah. I have a 16-month-old granddaughter. And
they're
just so sweet and snuggly.
It's
yes.
So much fun. Yes. And she is not feeling well. She gets tubes in her ears on Friday. She's had 6 ear infections in the last 9 months. So my Marco Polo group and my girls, oh my gosh, they hear so much about how tired I am and my sleep protocol. And that's kind of what I want coaching on.
Okay.
So I had my power thought, which was I live a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
That's my like future me. But then I listened to Atomic Habits and I heard him talk about your identity. So don't focus on the outcome, which would be the weight that I want to lose. And don't focus on the process, which would be the lifestyle and the choices. Focus on your identity. So I changed my power thought to I am a healthy person who makes healthy choices and lives a healthy lifestyle. But mostly I am a healthy person. So I write that on my plan every day. And that's what I ask myself all the time. What would a healthy person do? Mm-hmm. But one thing that I could just use some guidance on. I'm working really hard on it. But I'm really trying to unentangle food from emotions. And I mean all of the feels, positive and negative.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not brought up in a household that processed emotions in a healthy way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have a baseline. Like I'm 39. I don't have 39 years of experience of doing that. I discovered Curran and you last May. So I have less than a year of managing my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm learning, but I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Right now, when something great happens, it's like, oh, let's celebrate. We'll go out to dinner. We'll order pizza. When something bad happens, my accountability girls will laugh at me. It's like, somebody get me a bag of Cheetos. I have no idea why I associate Cheetos making me feel better when I feel bad. And I did many models and thought downloads on this. And I always tell myself now, Cheetos taste like disappointment. Because even if I put them on my plan, I'm mad. It's not on my protocol. It doesn't feel good in my body. But I'm really struggling. So like today, my little one doesn't feel great and I didn't feel great. She cried all night last night. So I was exhausted this morning and I just wanted comfort. So I kept telling myself, my like powerful thought was just be gentle with myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted comfort. And I've gotten to the point where I can say food doesn't do that. I can hear your voice actually in my head, but food doesn't comfort you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, okay, so what does a healthy person do? Especially when like I was at work today, I actually left work and went home and took a nap, but that's rare. Usually I make myself stick it out, gut it out. So I'm just, how do I process that separation? I'm getting to the point where I'm like, oh, you know, that's just a bullshit thought. Food, cookies are not going to make me feel good. Cheetos are not going to make me feel good. And then I'm like, okay, so then what?
Sleep.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sleep is my friend. It's my frenemy. I always miss sleep. But it's hard because I loved that you just did the time blocks with her. I try and do that on my 24-hour plan. But I also really struggle with that planning.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle to find the minutes and the seconds in there too, because like I wake up with her in the middle of the night and I also need to unentangle how she sleeps and how I sleep with that determining my whole day. Cause I keep telling myself, well, I can't have a very reliable morning routine when sometimes I will sleep. I say I get up at 6, but if she's awake all night long, I don't get up till 6:30 or 6:45 because I just want a little extra sleep. I also have anxiety, and I have noticed that lack of sleep is one of my biggest triggers. So I try and just have a sleep deprivation protocol that I follow, only because I know I need to remind myself, don't make any major life decisions right now. Mm-hmm. Like, cancel everything you can that isn't mandatory, that won't mess things up, and say no mm-hmm. if it's not an emergency. And try not to use food to buffer.
Yeah.
But then it's like, okay, well, then what do I do? Because I catch myself, I just recently became a person who doesn't drink soda.
Okay.
And I don't really love coffee. So I'm like, if I find myself saying, I need energy, I can get to the point where I say, and food isn't the way to get that.
Right.
Or I need a break. I just need a break. That one I say all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I struggle to find those pockets because it feels like I'm always taking care of all of the people.
Well, that's what moms do.
Yes.
Right. That's why we love being a mom, because we're taking care of all the people. But in the meantime, you have to find those pockets to take care of yourself, whether it's to grab a quick nap at lunchtime at work, or, you know, sometimes that extra 30 minutes in the morning, you know, if you respond well to that, is a gift that you give yourself. But if it's not, if you don't respond well to that extra 30 minutes in the morning, then you need to just get up, because 30 minutes probably isn't going to make or break you if you haven't slept a lot, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where you have to decide if hitting that snooze is really serving you, okay? Why aren't you sleeping right now while she's sleeping? Why aren't you napping?
Because I have my 8.5-year-old. Okay. Then she's watching TV, and then we got to get ready for bedtime. And my husband's at parent-teacher conferences with her twin brother, and then has to take him to the urgent care. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So that makes sense then.
Life, you know.
Yeah.
And so I struggle to the balance between being realistic, like planning realistically, even mm-hmm. with my time, and using as an excuse. And so I'm always going, am I just using this as an excuse? Like, I'm busy. I'm using air quotes. You just can't see them because they're down here. And I know that's a no-no word. But I'm like, okay, when do I legitimately give myself credit for having a lot on my plate? And mm-hmm. when do I go, come on, don't sit around in your shitty diaper. Get up and do the things that
you're doing. Well, only you know that answer.
I know, but I don't know it sometimes.
I can't tell you. No, you do. You do know it. You always know it. You always know that answer. You're just not looking for it, or you're ignoring it or something. You always know if you're wasting time. I mean, that's
fair enough.
Right. And you're the process chick, right?
I am the process.
you're the time management, you know, process guru. You know, if you're wasting time. You know, you've asked me a lot of questions.
Like,
yeah, you've asked me a lot of questions here about how do I know? And I keep, you know, what keeps coming into my head is that you're the one with the wisdom in your own mind. You know when you're using food as a reward. You know when you're using food as a comfort. You know, you're asking yourself all the right questions. You know, am I really tired? What should I do? I don't need coffee. I need sleep. You're asking, you're processing this all very well.
Well, you guys are brilliant, and you teach me all the brain things.
Right. You just have to trust yourself. You just have to trust yourself to know the right answer. What you're doing is spinning around in the questions instead of saying, mm-hmm. all right, wait, I know the answer here, and this is what I'm going to do. So you're stuck in this little cycle of, I don't know, maybe it's overwhelm too. I don't know.
I get that a lot.
When you can just say, okay, I'm stopping right here because I know this answer. And this is the next thing I need to do.
I use my TDLs a lot too, to just mm-hmm. go, just dump out the junk drawer of your mm-hmm. brain right now and figure mm-hmm. it out.
Right.
And I even got a wireless keyboard for my phone so I could quickly do that at work
mm-hmm.
When I need to. But sometimes I can get to the problem, but especially with the comfort. I'm like, what do I do for comfort? I'm sitting at work in a corporate office environment. Like,
why do you need comfort at work?
when I, well, like today when I was not feeling well, and I was just exhausted. And when I get exhausted, like physically, she screamed from like 1 a.m. to like 5 a.m. last night. So when I'm physically exhausted, I just get super emotional. I just want to cry over the silliest thing. Like I can't carry my cup and my laptop in the elevator to the meeting.
So what did you do?
I left my cup.
Well,
you know.
And you came home and you took a nap.
Today, right? I finally went, you know what? I'm not gonna sit in a space of scarcity. I'm gonna say I have enough sick days. I'm gonna go home and sleep. Yeah.
So you answered your own question. How do I find comfort? Right? You answered your own question.
I'm trying not to argue with you, and I'm like, but I can't go home and sleep all the time. And this happens frequently. So okay. I'm like, what do I do?
Why not? You just said you have plenty of sick time.
Sort of. I mean, I have a...
Every day is going to be a different decision point.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to go to work. Let's say she does this tonight. 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. She's screaming her head off. The clock's going to go off at 6. What are you going to do? You're going to get up, or are you going to say, call into work and say, you know what? I'm going to be in about 10. Kids screamed all night again. As long as she's sleeping, I'm sleeping.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
or
that's true.
You're going to get up and you're going to haul everybody to school and to daycare and to do, you know, wherever they go. And you're going to go to work and you're going to reach another decision point. And that's when you ask yourself, what do I need to do here? And you make a decision instead of, oh my gosh, I just need comfort. Do I need food? Do I need sleep? You know what you need. You know, cut through all that, you know, whatever, when you know what you need. You've told me everything you need, right? You're just spinning around trying to figure out what you need when you already know what you need.
What I usually need is sleep and a break.
Yeah.
That's what I almost always need.
That's what most moms need, sleep and a break.
Touche. Cheers to that. Yeah.
That's your good coaching for the day.
Go, Kathy. Go. Well, it's actually funny that you said it's just a decision. I like the way, because it takes the overwhelm out of it. Just make a decision.
Yeah.
And if the decision isn't take the day off work, then what's the next one? Plan 15 minutes to do my TDL or something.
It's so funny that I'm coaching people on making decisions.
It's very helpful to have somebody. It's funny. I keep getting this recurring boing on the brain at camp. I was sitting with Andrea the last morning and I was farting around with my oatmeal going, oh, I don't know if I'm at a plus two or not at a plus two. I just really want to eat this oatmeal, but I don't want to overeat. And she said, give me that bowl. And she took my bowl and said, you already know the answer. And I went, oh man, that applies to so much in my life. And you just reinforce that. You already
know
the answer.
Yep. You indulge in confusion.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. Guilty as charged.
So do you know about indulgent emotions?
Oh man, do I ever.
Okay. So for anybody who doesn't, the basic answer is it's your go-to to keep you from moving to action. All right. So you like to sit in confusion because then you don't have to do anything.
Also resentment.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's one that I really have to manage myself through.
Yeah.
I get upset with my husband and I do a lot of resentment and I'm like, don't indulge in that. It's not helping anything.
Yep. Mine is self-doubt. So when I start to feel bad about myself or my work or my this or my that, I don't have to do anything because I'm over here going, oh, I'm just not good at this. I'm just so terrible. I have to do it again. I have to blah, blah, blah. Well, that keeps me from doing anything. So when you recognize yourself in confusion, just say, all right, we're stopping this right here. And think about Andrea and the oatmeal. Think about me telling you, you know what you need.
You already know the answers. That's one of my power thoughts too.
Yeah.
I got to start writing that on the top of my plan too every day. You already know the answers.
So when you do compound tired with all of this, your body's going to think it's hungry and it's really not because it's going to be looking for energy. Your brain's going to be looking for relief because it's tired.
Relief.
It's going to be looking for rest. You just have to find a way to give it to yourself. Okay. And that's where those little pockets of time if you have 10 minutes at lunchtime and you don't have a door in your office, go to your car.
Yeah, I have done that. I have heated seats and I'm like,
yeah,
I mean, and I just listened to episode 97 of the podcast where you and Corinne were talking about not negotiating with yourself on decisions. Like I listened to that on my way home. That's where I use my commute, because I've got about a 45-minute commute every morning and evening. So I listen to you and Corinne or an audiobook or even Brooke every day to keep me on track.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm not negotiating with myself on this decision. I'm just going to make the decision. I'm not doing that right now. Yeah.
All right. Get tubes for that little girl. She'll feel better and you'll feel better.
Oh my gosh. She's running a low grade temp right now. And I'm like, please, they will cancel the procedure. Tubes for the win. Thank you, Coach Kathy.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Tanya, you are next. Hello.
Hi, Kathy.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Great.
What you got?
So, I'm doing pretty good with my plans. So I wanted to do the coaching call a little bit for like a stretch assignment, kind of get me a little bit out of my comfort zone.
Okay.
And then just so right now I've set a very realistic goal. So my, I'm down 28 pounds as of last Friday.
Congratulations.
September. Thank you.
Wow. Queen's Club.
Yes.
Just in time too. Have you joined yet?
Yeah, I sent it in. So was it, I think the last two Fridays I stayed the same weight.
Uh-huh.
So then that must be what it is. 'Cause I got the call out this week. So
have you been added to the group?
I have.
Okay, good. Because Betsy's masterclass is tomorrow night.
Oh, good.
Yeah, the Queen's Club masterclass.
I don't think I've figured that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Queen's Club has either Betsy or I, and every blue moon, Corinne, we'll do a special like a workshoppy kind of thing every month that takes the content that we're studying for the month just a little bit deeper for the girls in Queen's Club. So yeah, that's tomorrow night. Betsy's doing it.
Okay, good. So my goal, let's see. So when I got to Queen's Club, I had beat my realistic goal, which is the one that I'm trying to kind of keep myself motivated with. I'd probably beat it by like 3.5 to 5 pounds. I forget which.
Okay.
But I keep sticking with the goal that I set, even though I've passed it, because I want to accelerate the weight loss, but then I won't plan exceptions. So like I find myself, as an adult, I've started drinking some, but like my husband and I don't really drink. Like we've never been ones to get a drink when we go out. But in recent history, as I've been trying to find friends as adults, I've started drinking because that's what adults do, right? So I had gotten to where I would drink on a more regular basis, but only outside of the home, not in the home. Mm-hmm. But lately I found like, okay, if I plan an exception meal, then I don't want to plan a drink because it's going to slow my weight loss.
Okay.
And so I just kind of wanted to talk, like, I think I intellectualize. So every time I try to do a TDL, I'll get some stuff. And I've definitely done the Ask Coaches, and that was helpful because it was able to point out some thoughts that allowed me to change it.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kind of wanted to talk to you about that. And then my big issue that I've been struggling with lately is really anger. And that's kind of been a longer term one, where it's kind of like now, you know, I'm dealing with the food issues. I'm not doing the overeats. Occasionally, like tonight, I'm like, okay, yeah, I probably ate past my 2. I probably got to like a 3 or a 4, but that's what will happen. So they're small. It's not like I used to do, because I just don't do that anymore. And I'm kind of like, okay, I got this. So I feel like I have the food under control. I changed jobs. I got the job under control. I feel like that's all good. But then what I'm finding is I don't think that I'm actually dealing with the like overall change in the thought process, because I'm still snippy with the kids, right? Like,
all right. So do we need to talk about realistic goals first? You mentioned that.
Maybe.
Okay. So tell me, you've mentioned a couple of times what your realistic goal was. Tell me what that was. Was it 25
it's
pounds?
1.5 pounds a week.
1.5 pounds a week. Okay. So what's the total that you want to lose?
And I started in, the total. So from January 1, the total that I wanted to lose is like as of January 1 weight, because I joined January, it's 63 pounds in total.
63. Okay.
And that gets me to the midpoint of my BMI. So it's pretty aggressive. Like it, well, in my mind, it's an aggressive goal, because like that'll be the smallest I've ever been in my life. And I've been doing CrossFit for 3 years. So I have pretty high muscle mass, but so that's kind of like that's my goal.
All right, you and can set whatever goal you want.
Okay.
Perfect. If it's 63 pounds, I don't care if it's 6 pounds or 63 pounds. Okay. If it feels right to you, then you can set whatever goal you want.
Okay. Perfect.
Why do you keep calling this a realistic goal?
Oh, because I have it set to lose 1.5 pounds a week, which I think is very doable for me if I stick to the four basics. I think that if I tightened down and was restricting and probably wasn't really enjoying the process, I could probably lose a lot more than 1.5 pounds a week.
Yeah, and then you'd probably gain it right back the first time you
passed
a buffet, right?
Even more angry than I already am.
Right, exactly.
Right. So I'm trying to manage it all.
Let's keep it here. No.
Yeah, exactly. That's why every time I'm like, oh, I can change it. I'm like, no, Tanya, just keep your goal what it is and keep going forward.
Yeah. When it comes to setting goals and you know, especially if it's a week by week thing, you want to set one that you're going to be able to maintain, right?
Okay.
You could lose a couple more pounds, you know, you could lose a couple pounds a week, but that doesn't mean you'd keep it off, because if you were restricting, then you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be living it, you know, losing it like you're going to live it.
Right.
So what help do you need with that? You just want, you know,
I guess like that's where, right now when I'm eating out, that's what I'm considering my exceptions.
Okay.
And when I eat out, I'm still eating the same types of food that I generally eat, but I'm kind of allowing myself one exception a week.
Okay.
And so that would, but like last, if I think about last week, we celebrated Valentine's Day. We also had a sweetheart dance for my daughter. So I was eating out, not inside the house. So I considered both of those exceptions. So then I was like, okay, well, I had drinks on Valentine's Day, but I kind of wanted to plan a drink for another night, but I didn't. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you decide when to plan exceptions?
When you want them.
Okay.
You have, you know, exceptions are just like being part of the realistic goal.
Okay.
Okay. Because you're not going to go the rest of your life without having a drink.
Right.
At dinner. You're not going to go the rest of your life without having a piece of cake at your birthday or, you know, something like that. So that's part of the whole realistic program is planning exceptions. So, and dinner out, you know, making a good choice when you're out at dinner. I mean, you can call that an exception if you want. I wouldn't. I'd eat, you know, burger and fries. I mean, that's my exceptions are at Burger Republic with a, you know, a nice dark stout beer and a burger and some tater tots. I have no idea what my BMI is though. See, I don't think of it in those terms. I know what, I know what the weight on the scale is. And, yeah. So, I think I would play a little bit with exceptions just because, you know, you probably want to learn how to eat those and lose weight and maintain your weight once you get down there.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
because that's what I want to do. Because I want to make sure that once I get there, it's just like, okay, I'm there. It's easy.
Yeah. Just use your hunger scale. Enjoy your, when you go out, you know, and plan what you're going to have ahead of time and use your hunger scale and enjoy your exception. Okay.
Okay. Great.
All right. What's this about anger?
Yeah. So with the anger, and that's where I was wondering, maybe I'm, even though I'm being real, like what I'm calling realistic, I'm wondering if I'm being too restrictive because I'm finding it hard. And this isn't like it's a new thing, right? Like I've always been the disciplinarian in my family. Like my husband doesn't do it. It's me, right? Like when I say something, my kids listen because they know I mean it. I always follow through, even if I don't like what I said that I'm like, whatever I said, the consequence was, it is it, even if I hate that consequence. Right. So I've learned to be careful about that. But what I'm finding, you know, I think it's the same thing, right? Where my expectations of my children are unreasonable at a lot of times, I think, right? So like tonight I go in there and my son's trying to fold up his pants. So I was showing him how to fold the pants the way that like the Marie Kondo folds them because maybe I'm slightly anal. And so I'm trying to like show him how to do it. And then he's not doing it right, but I didn't actually like just get down on the floor and just show him how to do it calmly. It's like I'm yelling at the kid about folding a pair of pants. And in hindsight, I can look at it and go, this is the stupidest thing ever. Like just bend down and fold the damn pants with the kid and show him like he's smart, he'll get it. But instead I choose to yell. So I think that the reason why I bring it up with you is because I think that it impacts the weight, right? Like it's this, in my mind, it's probably the same issue. And I'm just manifesting it somewhere else, right?
It's possible. They so say what you do in one area, you probably do in a lot of areas. Do you get angry about your food?
Not generally, because I feel like I'm pretty realistic, right? Like right now, I feel like I'm pretty realistic about it.
So is it regiment? I mean, tell me what the connection is between the food and, you know, folding the kids.
I feel like it's... So if I look, I get the overwhelm. So if I look at my, like if I go through my to-do list right now, I mean, I probably between work and home and self-care and weight loss and all my to-do lists, I probably have over 150 things on my to-do list. And so that overwhelms me. The way I deal with it is I say, I can only do one thing at a time. And then I just focus on what I can get through. So right now that's the 24, I do the 24 hour plan. I do my water. I do the hunger scale. I'm trying to do the sleep. That one's squishy. But I've gotten up to like 6.5 hours of sleep. So what I feel is that when I get that's regimented, like doing. So I was definitely one of the ones where it's like, I hate writing my food down. I'm never going to write my food down. And I don't know what happened, but like I've talked to a nutritionist for the last probably 3 to 5 years of my life. And she always told me to write my food down and I told her to go fuck herself. And so, but then I did Corinne's like Christmas week, plan your food, and I don't know why, but for some reason I was willing to.
Well, and it's probably stopped. Because you're seeing results.
And that might be what, and it didn't feel limiting to me.
Right. So you're on with your four basics. If you're really losing 1.5 pounds a week, you're on cruise control.
Yes.
Right?
That's my goal.
Okay. So are you losing 1.5 pounds a week?
I am. Like a lot of times I'll lose more, right? Like, I mean, there's weeks that I'm losing 3 pounds. I've lost up to 5 when I was sick 1 week, you know, so I've gotten to where I'm comfortable with hunger.
Okay. Right. Are you eating to +2?
You know, I debate that. Like I do go back and forth. Like I'm not eating like I'm confident that I'm usually not eating. Like tonight I did, right. I ate past, but generally I'm eating, I think, to +2. It could be to a +1. But like I keep playing around with it. Like, okay, I'm not really hungry this morning, so I'm not going to eat. I'll eat at 10. I'll eat at 11.
When you have these angry outbursts about pants and other things, are you hungry?
Yeah. Nope.
You're not hungry when you're angry? Or when you have these outbursts?
Nope.
I guess I'm not understanding what the connection is.
It's just like the feeling of restriction.
Do you feel restricted in your eating?
Because I'm, yeah.
You do feel restricted in your eating.
I do.
Mm. So, I do. Okay. So why do you feel restricted in your eating?
Because I'm not planning all the food that I do want to eat.
Okay. And is that feeling of restriction, I mean, are you okay with that if you're going to lose 1.5 pounds or 2 pounds a week? Or would you rather lose 1 pound a week and not snap at your kids?
And I'd rather lose 1 pound a week.
Feel good about yourself and not go to anger every time you turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I need to go back and look at my meal plans.
Yes, you need to. You need to plan. You need to plan an exception. A real exception, not a,
I went out to eat.
Right.
And I still ate healthy.
You need to eat to +2.
Okay.
Okay. If you're doing CrossFit 3 times a week, your body needs +2. It doesn't need +1.
Okay. Okay.
And you need to loosen up your plans a little bit so that you're not all snippy snappy and feeling restricted. Because restriction, might get your weight off, but it doesn't keep it off. And that's the goal. You want to get down to 63 pounds, and that's great.
Yeah.
But you know, a pound. I lost mine at 1 pound a week, and it stayed off.
Okay.
First time ever.
Right.
I mean, I was 47 when I started. First time I have ever kept my weight off. Ever.
Okay, perfect.
And it's worth it. 1 pound a week, totally worth it. Because I'm 6 years out.
And then if I can quit feeling restricted, because that's where it's like until this call, I didn't really acknowledge that I was feeling restricted in the food.
No. At first you told me you weren't restricted. Did you know?
I know.
When we first started
through it, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely feeling restricted.
And that's probably leaving you angry.
Yeah.
Low level anger all the time because I
can't
have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I can't have.
Right. And I'm not even consciously thinking through it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect. Well, I'm glad I did this.
I'm really glad you did too. I'm glad we kept talking through it. I'm glad it finally came out.
No problem. Perfect. Thank you so much.
This was all right. Wonderful. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. You too. Okay, Judith, you are next.
Can you see me?
Yes, ma'am. I can see and hear you.
And I apologize. I didn't think about coming on this call and I just realized I'm wearing my nightshirt. So that's right.
That's so funny because I was, we're having lots of rain here. Like we're supposed to have 7 or 8 inches over the next couple of days. And I told somebody, I think I'm just going to wear my pajamas all day tomorrow, because I work from home.
Right.
And then I thought, wait, I have 2 calls tomorrow. Maybe I shouldn't. But it's so tempting.
Here I am in all of my nightshirt glory, but
well, I'm jealous.
For it, okay? Everybody's got to do their thing. I used to teach online, and I could do that in my pajamas, so that was nice too.
Yeah. So, what are we coaching on?
I'm actually calling to thank you. I'm not sure who answers the Ask Coaches questions, whether it's you, Betsy. I'm assuming it's both of you. There may be other people that are involved in that. But yes, on Sunday night, I posted a question about feeling somewhat alone in the sense that I was seeing lots of big wins and I knew that I'll get there. And, that's not a problem. But I was like, there's got to be people out there having smaller wins is what I was trying to articulate. And the suggestion back in Ask Coaches was put up a thread about non-scale victories or whatever.
Yep. So that was me.
Okay.
I remember that question.
Yesterday with the hashtag of little wins. And there were I was amazed. There were 30, I think some, there were quite a number of comments. And you said that there probably would be to where I was looking through and I made, I wanted to make sure that people knew that I was looking. And some I made comments to, you know, just replies that hit me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I put another one up for Tuesday wins, mm-hmm. like from today. And so I just wanted, really all I'm doing is calling in saying thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciated that response and mm-hmm. that idea. I was like, oh, I never would have thought of that. I mean,
yeah.
So thank you. And it really is. I've done the weight loss thing mm-hmm. years ago. I lost in 2006. I was 3 pounds away from a goal of about 40 pounds. And I had an automobile accident. I was in an automobile accident. I didn't have it. I was in it and things changed. Life changed. Mm-hmm. All kinds of crazy things. And September found the tribe through a mm-hmm. friend who's a member of the tribe, Teresa, and started doing the groupie thing and listening and doing all of that, and have been a member since January. And I'm going mm-hmm. to lose this weight the way I'm going to live it. And good. The previous caller was saying how, you know, she was losing like a pound a week, whatever, a pound mm-hmm. and a half. And that was good. And that's pretty much what I found. I'm working it, and mm-hmm. my protocol is bizarre in a way that many other people, but it's my protocol. So I realize right. it doesn't matter, would mm-hmm. look at it and go, how do you expect to lose weight with that? My protocol says I can eat anything I want mm-hmm. within -2 to +2. And there yeah. have been some overeats, but there've been a lot fewer overeats than not. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. thank you.
Yeah. And if you're losing weight that way, you know, go for it. That's, you know, that's great. There are probably things that you're not going to eat because you don't like them. And that's okay too. I don't eat beets, right? And they're supposed to be super right. healthy. Ugh, no beets for this girl. But watch for the thread. I think it's on Thursdays. Missy who posts and she has a big graphic and it says NSV, non-scale victory. And she posted on Thursday because, you know, it helps everyone reflect on victories that aren't scale related. So, right. you know, you may have maintained for the week, but you may have, you know, knocked a presentation out of the park and you felt really good about it or, you know, whatever. I don't know. But the non-scale victories and the little wins are just as important as Transformation Tuesday, you know, because mm-hmm. you have to build that momentum and recognize your small successes along the way. So I really appreciated that question and I'm really glad you're making those posts. That's good. Good
thank
stuff.
You. So I appreciate all of you and thank you. And this has been one of the best gifts I've ever given myself. So
very good. Very good.
60 some to go, but I'll get there. So
you'll get there. That's right. Thank just keep tallying up those small wins.
That's right. There we go. All right. Well, thank you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was nice. Betsy and I, by the way, for whoever's listening, Betsy and I both answer those questions. So we just take turns. We go in and check whatever's in there. We just answer. All right, Brittany, it's your turn. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
So I need coaching on self-sabotage.
Okay. What are you doing?
I made it to 53 out of 67 days of the 24-hour plans,
mm-hmm.
and then I got sick, and I did good for another 2 days, and then I stopped for
Why?
Over a week. I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
Why did you stop? Yes, you do. If you had to guess.
Hang on. I'm talking. Hang on. Sorry.
It's okay. If you had to guess.
I don't know. You know, I gave myself some leeway when I was sick and I told myself that it was okay. And baby, I'm on the phone. I will be with you in a couple minutes. Okay. I'll be right with you. And I tried to give myself some compassion and some leeway on, you know, not following my plan like I was. And I had some really good momentum and I was feeling great. And then, I stopped doing my plans. I had a call with Betsy in December. And this is what I did all year last year. I gained and lost the same 25 mm-hmm. pounds over and over again. So I'm just like, I'm scared that I'm going to fall back into my old behaviors. And
well, I want to go back to why you quit making the plans.
I really don't know. I wasn't,
Okay.
Feeling well.
All right. Now, that's the last time you say, I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. So if you had to guess why, when you started getting better, you didn't start making plans again, what would be your guess?
Fell out of the habit.
Just didn't feel like it. Didn't want to take the time.
Well, I was getting up at 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I would do my plan and all that stuff. And then I would do it right before I went to bed at night. And after I wasn't feeling well, I couldn't get up in the morning and I couldn't stay awake at night.
Okay. So when you started feeling good again, when you started feeling good again and started getting back up in the morning, why didn't you do it?
I didn't get up in the morning.
Ah, so you changed, your routine changed.
Yeah.
That's all that happened.
Okay.
That's all that happened. You didn't self-sabotage, your routine changed.
Okay.
So you need
I got up at five today.
Yeah, you either need to create a new routine or you need to go back to the old one. Decision point.
Okay.
That's all it is.
Okay.
Right? I think we like to tell each other, we like to tell ourselves we self-sabotage because it gives us an excuse to stop.
Right.
You know, well,
I don't want to
give up on myself again. I may as well eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And I'm so used to that pattern that.
Well, it's easy.
I did it 3 times last year.
So. Yeah. It's easy. So you just say I'm not doing that this time. I mean, seriously, that's the best coaching I can give on this.
Yeah.
No, I'm pulling the bullshit light on this and I'm not doing it this time because I want to get past this. I want to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So you recognize your pattern. You recognize the pattern. Just tell yourself that's not happening this time.
Yeah. Okay. And if it's as simple as a routine change, then it's not as in depth as I thought it was. So
well, it can be. That's certainly where I'd start.
Yeah.
That's absolutely where I'd start. Then if your brain starts, if you start, I don't know, if it goes back to a thought like I'll never lose this weight.
Yeah.
That's when you correct the thought.
Okay.
I'm going to do this all over again. That's when you correct the thought. You decide, no, I'm not thinking that today. That's not because I am going to do this. This is the last time. That's where you start those thought replacements that are empowering,
Okay.
It's real easy to say you have a self-sabotaging habit. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I do. That makes it easy. That's the excuse. Well, just don't accept that excuse anymore. Don't accept that thought anymore. Say, this is not what I want to do this time. How much weight do you want to lose?
About 75 pounds.
Okay. And how much have you lost so far?
I've lost 15.
15. Yeah. So let's say you want to lose, 5 pounds a month, probably? Mm-hmm. Is that about right?
Yeah.
I have 5 pounds to lose this month. I'm making a plan tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just talk to yourself that way. Just like, just picture me talking in your ear or Corinne talking in your ear. God love you, right?
I do that all the time.
Say, no, this is not acceptable thought work here. I'm not going to reach my goals thinking these thoughts.
Okay.
I mean, seriously, it can just be that easy.
Okay.
It sounds like you're pretty strong-willed about stuff, right? You're telling your kid, tell yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, baby. Okay. Yes.
Does that help?
Yes, absolutely. I need to stop those thoughts. So.
Yeah. So you can make a plan tomorrow?
Yes.
Or tonight?
I already made my plan. Yes,
okay.
I'm going to start it tonight. I'm going to get up in the morning and back to my routine because I was doing everything.
Right.
I was tracking TDL every day.
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad that I made it to 56 days.
You can count tomorrow, day 57, if you want, or you can count it day one. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. All that matters is that, you're back in your routine. That you know works, right?
Yeah.
So what are you going to do at 5 o'clock in the morning when the clock goes off?
Well, I read Miracle Morning. So it's similar to the 5 a.m. club that Corinne's been talking about. And I've been doing that for a couple months now. So I do my journaling, I do my plan. I do my schedule for the day. Mm-hmm. And I do about 20 minutes of exercise.
Okay. So, that's great.
Yeah.
And that feels really good to you.
That feels great to me. It gets my day started and I know I'm off on the right track. And
you don't have a lot of chatter when the clock goes off about staying in bed. You just get on up, huh?
Some days. That's the other thing is like I get stuck in this overwhelm because like I'm reading all the books. I'm trying to do all the things. And then sometimes I think it gets to be too much. But I read the 5-second rule too. So I've been implementing that.
That's so funny. I was going to ask you if you had read that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm about halfway through it right now. So.
Yeah. I think I read about half of it, but I got the gist of it. The 5-4-3-2-1 is
5-4-3-2-1.
You know, I think the whole book talks about how she applies that. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been doing that and that help. Doesn't give me much time to think about it.
Yeah. So, and that really probably does help with overwhelm when you know what you need to do instead of just doing in it, because the one thing that gets you out of overwhelm is action.
Yeah.
So once you just move to doing something, then you're not swimming around in overwhelm anymore. So that 5-second rule does help. And for those who haven't read the book, basically you give yourself 5 seconds to move to action. So if you're laying in bed, you have the countdown, kind of like just like the rocket ship, right? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, out of bed.
Go.
Right, go. And it works.
Now
it's really,
you think about it.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's like your own countdown and your brain just reacts to it and you just move to action.
Yep.
So yeah. Good stuff.
Yep.
That's all right, awesome. You ready to get back into
I'm ready
now,
yes.
Right?
Thank you for getting
You're
me
welcome.
Down
You're welcome.
All right, thanks, Kathy.
Okay, bye. All right. There are no hands raised. Does anybody want to be coached? Where are all my... Oh, there's somebody. Yay. Lynn. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Did you sign up?
Did I sign up?
For Life Coach School?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
You did?
I actually signed up like in December.
Oh, I remember talking about it. I guess I didn't realize that you had already signed up.
Oh,
maybe you did tell me that.
Well, maybe it sounded more like I was thinking about it, but I had signed up. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's no going back.
when do you start? April?
April.
Mm-hmm. April. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what are we coaching on? Yeah.
I have a relationship question.
Okay.
My fiance has been really stressed out at work and, I've mostly just, tried to listen, give him a little bit of feedback, without trying not to be bossy about inserting my opinions too much. Mm-hmm. But he's really freaking out. Okay. And, I want to talk to him tonight and maybe give him a little bit of tough love, but I realize that I have a lot of crappy thoughts going on in my own head about it. And just trying to figure out how to approach it so that I'm not making it all about me. Cause it sort of is a lot about me right now.
So what do you want to tell him?
Well, I want to tell him that I want to tell him that he's creating a lot of drama. Like he's creating a lot of the drama and that it's not helping. But I'm wondering if I should just ask him if he thinks it's helping or if he likes feeling the way he's feeling. I don't know.
Are you trying to coach him?
I don't want to. I just want him to. I don't know what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Let's figure that out first.
Okay.
Okay. So what's the goal of talking to him? You want to talk to him about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you want him, what do you want to communicate to him? What do you want the result of the conversation to be? Let's ask that.
Okay. Good question.
What do you want the result of the conversation to be?
I guess I want the result of the conversation. I think I'm trying to change him. Is what I want the result of the conversation.
Coaching done. What's his name?
Graham.
Graham, here's the manual. I need you to read it and act like I want you to.
Right. Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. Yeah. 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 So I guess I want the result, what I really want the result to be, because I'm not going to change him. And I know that I've had enough experience with him to know that the more I try to change him, he is extremely stubborn, and that's okay. I guess I just want him to feel supported, and I can't control how he feels about the situation that he's in. Yeah.
But you can tell him that you support him. Mm-hmm. You can communicate that to him, and then he can decide whether or not he feels supported by you or by anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. So what you give to the relationship is all about you. What he gives to the relationship is all about him, right? What he gives to your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So you can, you know, you can give him what your expectations are. You can tell him how you feel. You can do all that, and then he gets to choose how he's going to react to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose what you're bringing in to the conversation, and he gets to choose how to react. Just remember that, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want to tell him what to do with this work situation, you can. You can say, I have an opinion. Here's my opinion. I feel better for giving it. Now, how can I support you? Then, you know, that opens the door for him to say, butt out, or I appreciate your input, or thank you for the conversation, or whatever. Just be ready for, you know, him to, you know, be allowed to respond any way he wants to.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think in this context, I'm not always sure how or if I should address it when I, and again, this is I realize it's a judgment that I'm having about it when I see him acting in ways that I think are self-destructive. Yeah. And because I'm a teacher, I think that I have this sense to just say, well, you should just do this. That's what I do all day.
Mm-hmm. So he knows that about you.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. Do you communicate with him that way often?
Not so much anymore.
Okay.
I used to do it a lot, and I do it much less. And I haven't felt the urge to do that much until today.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked to him and we had a really brief conversation and
So what would be wrong with you saying, Graham, I have an opinion here and it's my opinion and I just feel like sharing it and do with it what you want. What would be wrong with that?
Nothing.
Nothing. Right. I'm always a fan of communication. I mean, you never know how someone is going to respond if you communicate with them, you know, I won't say appropriately, but calmly, mm-hmm. you know, and you tell them, you know, this is what I've been seeing and, you know, I could be totally wrong, but, you know, just hear me out for a second. And then he gets to decide if you're right or you're wrong, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the beauty of creating, you know, you'll learn this term when you go to life coach school, clean space.
Mm-hmm.
You just air everything. You just, you know, everything is just calm. You don't go in with an agenda. You just say, this is what's on my mind. if you don't expect a reaction from him, then you feel much freer in communicating. You know, if you go in there and you go, I've really got to get him to think this way, then your space is not clean at all. It's almost like a coaching environment. If you're going in with an expectation of changing him, then he's just going to be resistant to that. But if you just say, look, I have an opinion, do with it what you want, and you really give him that grace, then there's nothing wrong with communication.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because I wanted to say what I've been observing, mm-hmm. but I didn't want to make it. Yeah. I didn't want to go into it with this. I want you to be a certain way.
Right.
In the outcome.
And what you're observing may or may not be right. It may be just, it's only what you've seen that he's shown you, mm-hmm. right? There could be multi-layers going on underneath that are just fine, or, you know, the other direction. You know, so just tell him what you see and say, I could be wrong here. This is just what I see, and I care about you. So this is what I have to offer. Take with it what you will.
Okay. That makes sense.
It's kind of what we do in coaching. You know, I just gave you an opinion, mm-hmm. and I'm going to let you decide what you're going to do with it. Basically, you know, I just offered, you know, whatever based on my own experience. And you get to decide if I'm wrong or if you're going to, you know, you get to decide how you're going to react. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Does that help?
I was thinking about, I have the same sometimes, situation with my students when they don't do what I tell them to do. And then I, you know, it's like, why didn't you let me change you? Why didn't you let me fix you? If you would just do what I say, I would fix you. But it's
the
true.
The problem
it's
just there is free will.
they get to decide if they're going to yes. do what I tell them. And then I don't own their result.
Right.
Just like I can't own his result.
No, but you can own yours.
Yeah.
All right. And your result here is that you showed up in a caring way to tell him what was on your mind.
Okay.
That's your result. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Oh, Tanya's back. Did you mean to raise your hand again? Unmuting you.
Okay.
Can you You're back.
Yeah. I just had a quick question about my two. Because
okay.
you were saying, because I this last week, this week is when I started ramping up my exercise again, because I finally mm-hmm. felt comfortable with hunger scale, that I wasn't fearful of the exercise making me overeat, right? Because now I feel like I have a good gauge on this is real hunger, this is okay. emotional hunger. So I don't worry about the exercise getting me to overeat. But then your question about are you at a two or at a one? So I would say that most times when I'm finished eating, I can still go for a run afterwards.
Okay.
Is that a two or a one?
How does your stomach feel?
That piece, I don't know. It feels full, but it doesn't okay. feel over full. But like tonight.
So it feels satisfied?
Yeah, it just feels satisfied. And it does last me, I'd say it generally lasts me the 3 hours.
Okay. You're probably at a two or close to it.
Okay.
But let me tell you something you just said. Okay.
Yes.
You said exercise makes you overeat.
Yeah. I know, because I had told my coach, I was like, I think CrossFit's making me fat.
No.
That was before I found you guys. And he was trying to explain to me that he wasn't making me fat.
No.
That was my mouth.
And exercise, yes.
I wouldn't do it.
Exercise doesn't make you overeat.
Right.
Okay. You put everything in your mouth all by yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Watch that thought. Because that's actually, have you, when did you join?
just January.
January. Have you been through module 5 of the NOBS yet?
Yes.
That's a justification.
But I don't know which one it is.
Okay.
That's the justification.
Taking control is the overeating.
Oh, okay.
The overeating module. Okay. Yes. We're actually going to talk a lot about overeating in March. Okay. It's
okay.
The program for March.
Okay.
She takes that taking control module to the next level. But what was I going to say?
Yeah, because I well.
Oh, justification. Yes, yeah. It's a justification is an excuse.
Right, and I feel like now I'm at a. So when I first started, I definitely think I would have used it as an excuse to keep overeating, mm-hmm. and then kind of playing with the hunger scale. That week we had the hunger scale challenge, mm-hmm. and then now just what I've done on my own, I feel like okay, I've got this mm-hmm. where I'm not worried about trying to use that as an excuse.
Okay, good.
But I think you're right. The fact that I'm still saying it, I need to watch it.
Yeah, watch for that.
Creep back in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Watch for that because, you know, a lot of times people who are like training for half marathons will say, I did a long run today. You know, I did 8 miles. I can, you know, that's 800 calories. I can have a cheeseburger and a cheeseburger is 1,000 calories, you know, or something.
Right.
So you kind of get into this justification, you know, cycle where you're saying, well, gosh, I did CrossFit. You know, I might have burned a couple hundred calories. I can, you know, eat all the things. Well, no, you can't. You still follow your hunger scale and follow your body cues and stuff.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're not mad at me, right? No anger.
No. I love all of you.
Okay. Good.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye. Okay, bye. So funny. All right. I need a hand. Who wants to talk to me? I need a hand. I see so many people here. There's a hand. Sherry. You are up. Hey, Sherry.
Hey, Kathy. How are you? Messy kitchen because I wasn't planning on jumping in here.
I can't even see your messy kitchen.
Oh, good, good.
How are you?
This way. I'm good. I'm good. This is impromptu. I really. So I guess what I'm calling is that what I'm dealing with is I didn't meet my weight loss goals that I wanted to reach this month before we go on our trip for spring break. And every week I pretty much set the same goal. And of course, you know, I'd have weekend issues, which I'm dealing with and working through. But so now we're leaving in 3 weeks and my mind is going to all kind of crazy, you know, what can I do in 3 weeks? You know, the new faster, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking of, so that's where I need to rework those thoughts and just do the basics and get where I can get in 3 weeks and not try and, you know, go crazy.
So what is your normal weight loss, each week, half a pound?
Well, you know, what's been happening, Kathy, is I've been really kind of, you know, really maintaining is that, I am, you know, Monday I'll be up, and then I'll be down by Friday and then I'll be up on Monday and I'll be back on Friday. And so I have that cycle that I really, of course, need to break because it's been going on for quite a while. Mm-hmm. This is really kind of bad lighting, but I was listening to the last call with the justification is we're just real busy right now. You know, we're doing college visits. My twins are graduating. We're trying to figure out colleges. And so I'm thinking about all the, you know, other stuff in my mind that I'm worried about or dealing with. And, you know, so when we're out of town, that makes it harder. And of course, that's just an excuse or it's a justification. Mm-hmm. When she started talking about some justifications, I thought, oh my, that is me. And I was just, like I said, I was just listening, but I thought that was my cue to jump in here and get some coaching because these next 3 weeks, you know, this happened to me, you remember with my daughter's wedding, mm-hmm. is trying to lose weight. And then we got 3 or 4 weeks before the wedding, it was like, throw my hands up, you know, because, well, I just, you know, it hasn't happened yet, so it's not going to happen. And so part of me does that. And the other part is like, well, then I need to crash diet because I'm leaving town in 3 weeks and want to, you know, feel better, or, you know, get to at least a somewhat of a closer to my goal that I want it to be.
So why does being out of town make it harder to lose weight? Why do the weekends make it harder to lose weight?
Well, I think for me is I still struggle with a couple of things, probably plus two. You know, by now I should have that under control, but I don't. And then the other thing is probably, you know, when we're traveling, like we're out of town, we go into restaurants, I seem to just fall into a, well, like, you know, like I don't want salads all the time. And so I tend to, you know, a lot of times, I mean, of course I get salad a lot of times, but, you know, I'll order just what everybody's ordering, or, you know, or either I'll, if we're at a Mexican restaurant, I'll be tempted by the chips, or, you know, I can't really point it, other than when we're not home, it's like, it's, but you know what, Kathy, it's not even what it is traveling. But the other thing for me is, it's just always the weekends. And I think I don't have enough structure. I don't want to say structure on the weekends. I don't plan well enough on the weekends.
You know,
let's say
you did plan well on the weekends. I think this plus two thing is big for you.
Do you
know when you hit plus two and just ignore it? Or do you just not know?
I think a lot of times I eat distracted.
Okay.
I think I just blow past it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I blow past it. I think most days at lunch, I'm eating at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like today, you know, I had a great salad, but I mean, I ate every bite.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, I was like, gosh, that was, you know, and then I kind of, like, you know, again, 20 minutes later. So I think, you know, I need to slow down and be more mindful and not eat. I mean, of course, everything we're supposed to do is not eat, you know, while we're working or on the phone or any of that, but I tend to, and then for dinner, you know, usually, I'll make my plate, but again, I don't want to say I'm distracted, but I eat with my family. So again, it's, you know, we're talking, we're, you know, just enjoying the fact the kids are still here. We're talking about what, happened. And then we, you know, I finish what's on my plate without even really giving it a lot of thought. And so I think that's where, when I first joined PNP, I was much more, I was trying harder to be aware. And I think now I've just kind of become complacent with it. It's just, you know, I don't serve a huge portion, but I've been, so, I mean, I'm great at maintaining, obviously, but that's not, you know, that's not here and what I want.
So, what do you think you can do to get out of maintenance and move to losing a little bit of weight?
Well, I think not eating at my desk, not eating in front of my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Lunch would be a start.
You work from home, right?
2 days a week, and I go in, and so kind of a half and half, depending on.
Do you have a break room at work?
I do. Down on the second floor. Not that that's a big deal. Just, I never go down there. I just eat at my desk. But that might be an option to get away from the computer. But then, you know, and putting the phone down, you know, because even, and so that's, I think just eating without distractions is probably being very mindful of how I'm feeling.
You know, it's a really great way to create paying attention while you eat?
No, tell me.
Eat with your non-dominant hand.
I've never tried that.
If you are right-handed, try eating with your left hand. You realize what concentration it will take to get that food into your mouth and keep it off your shirt?
I can't imagine. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It slows you way down. It's really an interesting hack. If you're the person that that fog eats their meals all the time. I had a client one time I told that she had to eat every meal at the kitchen table. Okay, in your case, you know, if you're at work, you'd have to go to the break room.
Right.
With no distractions. Mm-hmm. Because you have to create a situation where you're going to pay attention to your food if it's important to you. If it's important to you, you'll do that, right?
So use my left hand for meals.
Try it at home first. Sorry. But that's just one little hack you can do. Mm-hmm. I think for you, you've been around long enough that you probably need to work on your thoughts around eating or overeating, especially this fear of missing out you have at restaurants. You know, why is it important that you eat what everyone else is eating? Is it just what you want, or is it something else? And if it's just what you want, do you want, you know, the burger and fries, or do you want to lose, you know, a pound?
Right.
Or half a pound?
Yeah, I definitely want to lose weight.
Yeah.
I think, you know, like this weekend, one problem is we eat out too much on the weekends. And we just had that conversation with my husband, is we just tend to, I don't cook much on the weekends. You know, we cook all week, but I don't cook a lot on the weekends. And we spent a lot of money last weekend even, you know, I mean, we'd save money and be healthier if we, you know, it's what we do with the kids, you know. You know, we go out to dinner, or we go out after, you know, every Sunday after mass, we go to lunch, which is one thing for everybody. But this weekend we went out Saturday night, we went out Sunday night, we went out after church. I mean, we went out like every all weekend. And it definitely, even though I ordered, I think, pretty well, I do think eating distracted and in that maybe, you know, fun atmosphere, I definitely ate more than I have.
So you ate more and you ate restaurant food.
Right.
So there's, you know, it's compounded overeating because, you know, restaurant food is never going to be as healthy as what you'd make at home.
Absolutely.
So if you're going to choose to eat out all weekend, you have to follow that hunger scale. You have to find a way to eat distracted if you want to lose weight through the weekend. Or even maintain through the weekend, or just not gain through the weekend.
Just, yes. Two weeks ago, I had a Monday. I weighed less than the Friday, and it felt so great.
Yeah. Think about that. Yeah. That's a huge success.
Mm-hmm. And weighed less than I did on Friday. And, but I definitely need to, you know, have, you know, string some good weeks together.
So do you eat lunch out on the weekends too?
No, we don't.
Just dinner?
Just usually dinner. Well, that's not true. On Sundays, we always eat lunch after church. Mm-hmm. And then with the kids, this past weekend, we've been doing a lot of college visits. So we were out of town and spent out after church. And then we were out still away from home for dinner. So we, you know, stopped and ate and, you know, that kind of thing. So it was just a lot more because of our circumstances.
Actually, it wasn't because of your circumstances.
Oh, well, we were home.
You weren't home. You can still eat to your hunger scale and make good choices when you're out of town.
Right.
Right. You're just choosing not to because you're overeating, because you're eating distracted, or because you're just ignoring your hunger scale and you're not making the best choice on the menu because you want what everybody else is eating.
Right.
Right. So what I would do is I would be more intentional with my planning and I'd be more disciplined with my choices.
Okay.
I mean, that's...
Right. Oh, I know.
That's
why I almost didn't raise my hand. I know what I have to do.
Yeah.
Just string it. Good successes together.
Right. And then just, you know, as far as vacation goes, just just accept where you are now and say, I'd like to lose a pound a week between now and vacation, and that will feel good to me. Okay. And then when you're on vacation, same thing, just like your weekend protocol. Mm-hmm. You know, no, don't allow the thoughts of, you know, I'm missing out on the good food.
Right.
You know, say this is, you know, that, and eat to your two. You know, make sure you're eating to your two. Where are you going on vacation?
Well, that's, we're going to the Grand Canyon. We're doing that trip.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Oh, that's so awesome.
Yes. So we're going to be doing Sedona in the night in the Grand Canyon. And then we're doing a Segway tour. We're staying in Flagstaff because that's where our timeshare points there this time. Right. But so we'll be going to Sedona. We'll be going. I'm looking at Paige today to see about going up and doing the canyon up there too.
The what is that? Antelope Canyon? Is that Antelope?
Antelope Canyon.
So one of our stops on our tour was Lake Powell Resort, which is right there on the other side of the dam from Paige.
Right.
We actually toured. I can't remember what the name of that. Maybe it was called. I don't remember what the name of the dam is, but the dam that's right there at Antelope Canyon is built almost just like the Hoover Dam. There's like seven of them along the Colorado River. And you can tour it for like $4 a person.
Oh, wow.
So I would totally do that if you haven't done one of those big dam tours.
We have not.
But if that's right there, Paige was built. The little town was created for all the people that were building the dam.
The dam. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So,
well, it's beautiful. So I'm trying to figure out a day we can do that, because then we actually decided not to fly. We're actually driving because of extended family that's coming with us. And so we're going to drive up and see family in Santa Fe before we head back to Houston. So
cool. Well, I'm excited for you. Are you staying at the Kachina Lodge?
We are. We have one night there on Tuesday night. And we actually got the rooms that face Canyon.
Wow.
I booked those like 6 months ago.
Yeah. So, that's awesome. Yeah.
So that'll be fun. I mean, I hope, you know, I have no idea. It's been 10 years since I've been to the Grand Canyon. So
I was astounded by how big it was. I mean, I just couldn't stop looking at it.
I'm excited because my kids don't, they remember it, but they were so young. So this will be fun that they're going back. So, and my sister coming with me and Corey's brother. So we have a good group, a big group. So
do you have the planner? Are you taking it with you? Are you taking your planning sheets with you?
Oh yes. Yes. I have my, I go back and forth, but yes, I'll take everything with me.
Yeah. At least take the pages out of the planner. At least take however many pages you need if you don't have room for the whole binder.
Right. I'll take that with me.
And be intentional. Make a decision. Just make your decision now that you're going to, you know, there's not going to be any FOMO and you're going to stop at your two. And, you know, because wouldn't it be great to come home from vacation and be the same weight or even a little less?
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, you can totally do that, Sherry.
There'll be a lot of walking and a lot of hiking and a lot of, we're even going to go, well, I don't know if I'm going to ski, but we're going to that ski resort north of Flagstaff, Snow Bowl. So we have a lot of activities planned. Mm-hmm. So just got to keep up with it all. So
it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Are you going up into Utah at all?
We don't know if we're going to have time. I mean, if we get to Page, we may just cross in and into Utah just a little bit just to see it. Because of spring break, we just don't have as much travel time.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, enjoy. Have a wonderful trip. Take good care of yourself while you're out there.
I will. Thank you.
All right.
All righty. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay. Bye. All right, I have time for one more person. We have 10 more minutes. So who has a 10-minute question? So I went to the Grand Canyon last August, and Sherry and I talked. It's a pretty amazing place, y'all. Pretty amazing. We actually did a tour. We went through Sedona and the Grand Canyon and Bryce Canyon and Zion National Park. And it's really easy, surprisingly, to stay on plan when you're traveling, because you just decide that you're going to make a plan for the day. You're going to plan what you can. You're going to eat between your twos. You're going to drink your water. You're going to follow your basics. You're going to sleep when you can. I mean, it's just the same. You're going to make your best decision. Good, better, best goes on vacation with you really, really easily, right? Because you can look at a menu. You can see what they have to offer. You can order what, you know, whatever you want off the menu in whatever combination, because they're not going to turn your money away. So tell them what food you want. Tell them what, you know, how to prepare it. You know, I went out to eat with Corinne one time, a long time ago, back when Ruby Tuesdays was still her jam. And Ruby Tuesdays had spaghetti squash as a side on the menu. And then as an entree, they had spaghetti. So she would always tell them, I want the spaghetti, but I want it made on the spaghetti squash. And they would always do that. So be inventive when you're traveling. Enjoy the foods that are local. Like if you go to Seattle, you want to have the Dungeness crab, right? Or you want to have salmon. If you go to Maryland, you want to have crab cakes. So enjoy whatever's local, but enjoy it either with your left hand or eating to your two or planning it as an exception or something like that. And always, y'all, whenever you're traveling, always plan your drinks too. Because, you know, that's something you absolutely can control no matter where you go. So those are my tips for traveling. Just you always take your stomach and your hunger scale with you and your good judgment when it comes to good, better, best. So Sherry, have a great time. Enjoy your family time, but take care of yourself as well. All right, you guys. I don't see any hands raised, any other hands raised. Last call on the hands raised, and there's nothing in the Q&A, right? All right. Well, there is a hand. Got in under the wire. Kay Rickley, promoting you now. Trying to unmute you. There it is. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell me your first name.
Kathleen.
Kathleen. Oh, what a beautiful name. That is my name as well.
Thank you.
I'm also Kathleen.
I'm sorry you cut out. That's Kathleen.
All right. I'm also Kathleen. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My when I was born, my maiden name was McManus, so I am Kathleen Mary McManus, little Irish girl.
Yep, I'm Irish too, but I'm Kathleen Marie.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Well, I've actually been in the tribe since October of 17.
Okay.
But I kind of have an issue. Like, I do my plans like really good for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, I'm not doing my plans for 2 or 3 weeks. And then I start doing them again for 2 or 3 weeks and stop again. And I can't, like, pinpoint exactly why all of a sudden I just stop. And, you know, I'm really good about I'll do them in my head, but not always on paper. Mm-hmm. But I feel so much better when I do them on paper and feel more, like, proud of myself, I guess, and, like, seem to stick to it better.
Well, sure you do.
Yeah, but I can't pinpoint why exactly I keep stopping. And so, like, as I'm not really losing, I'm maintaining, but not really losing. So
tell me about the last time you stopped doing your plan.
I was sick. I was on a good roll and I got really sick, got a really bad cold, had a bunch of stuff going on at the same time as I was fighting that, so kind of just let it go to the back burner.
Mm-hmm. So why did you do that? If you had to guess, why?
Like putting other things in front of what I should be doing for myself.
Okay. So is that the pattern each time you quit doing your plan?
Usually, yes. Or saying, you know, I'm too busy. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Instead of taking those 2 minutes that it literally takes to do it.
Okay, so why do you think you do that?
Probably because I think everything else is more important.
Okay. You get complacent? You say you do your plan in the head, in your head. Mm-hmm. You get complacent with it?
Yes.
Okay, so we know complacency doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Corinne said once, a plan in your head is a wish.
Yeah.
It's not a commitment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So when you go through a period or you come across a period where you tell yourself, I don't think I'm going to do my plan today. I don't have time to write it down. Sorry, I have a frog. I don't have time to write my plan down. What are you going to tell yourself? How can you answer that thought?
That I do have time and I'm worth taking the time.
I'm worth taking the time. That's a good one. Are you?
Trying to believe that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is that not believable?
I don't know. I guess kind of because I'm like you say, you're a people pleaser. I'm kind of a people pleaser. Want to make sure everybody else is happy before worrying about myself. But even though I know, like how Corinne says, that that's a lie, because half the time I'm like, I really don't want to go do this.
Yeah, that's the problem with people pleasers is, you know, when she told me that the first time, people pleasers were the biggest liars, I was like,
Yeah, I know. When I heard her say,
I'm a nice person. That's a terrible thing to say.
Yeah.
And she did this to me, you know, she gave me that Corinne look, right?
Yeah.
But she was right.
Yeah.
You know, learning how to say what you want and what you need is a skill, right? It's something that you develop, but it feels really good, especially when it only takes 2 minutes to do for yourself what you need to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for you, I would just catch myself when I say, make sure you catch yourself when you say, I'll do that in a minute, or I don't have time. You know, make a non-negotiable appointment with yourself to do your plan. If that's your thing.
Okay.
You know, set a trigger for it. When you've probably heard me say, my trigger to do my thought downloads is when Ken is in the shower.
Yep.
Okay. So set yourself a trigger. When are you going to do your plan every night or every morning? Do you do it at night or in the morning?
I usually do it at night.
Okay, so what can happen? What happens every night that can trigger you to do your plan?
Usually, I found the best success by when I went and got into bed.
Okay,
I would sit down and write it real quick.
All right, so you need to put your whatever. Do you have the planner or do you have a notebook or something that you put it every plan in?
Yeah, I've just been printing the planner sheets.
Okay.
Stuff. I mean, I've tried different ones, but that seems to be the one that's working the best for me right now.
Yeah. So you just put your planner right there next to the bed. And when you get in bed, I get to lay down after I've done my plan.
Okay.
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 So what's going to happen the next time you go upstairs and it's like 1 o'clock in the morning because you've stayed up so late and you look at that planner and you go, oh, I just can't do it tonight. What are you going to do?
And tell myself I have to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting in bed. It's time to do the plan. This is non-negotiable.
Okay.
Because this is how I succeed in my weight loss.
Okay.
Because it is, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, because I do better when I do that and feel better.
When do you do your assessment?
Usually that at the same time, like I'll assess like how I did for that day and then do the plan for the next day.
Yeah.
And I mean, I feel like when I plan realistic and stuff. So for the most part and everything, you know, it's helped me pinpoint a lot of like the grit, like why I'm preparing dinner and stuff. Like when I grab food, I know that's one of my triggers. Mm-hmm. And then also when I come home from work, I need to still come up with something different to keep myself from going straight to the pantry, you know, when I get home from work. Because sometimes I am hungry, but sometimes I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like my accountability group have like helped me come up with things like to try to help stop, you know, the grab assing and mm-hmm. putting sticky notes on things and
yeah.
stuff, which has helped
yeah.
and stuff. But I still find myself sometimes like grabbing, and it's like I haven't quite caught the thought of like when I'm grabbing, I just grab and I'm like halfway through before I like, what am I doing? So mm-hmm. I'm still like sometimes trying to figure out what that exact thought is of what's getting me just to grab the food.
Mm-hmm. You know, if it's your habit to just grab the food and you catch yourself mid food grab and say, what am I doing? You know, that's progress, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean,
which I did.
It really is, because you haven't gone all the way through the eat and then on to the next thing. You've stopped yourself in the middle of the, what, you know, the eating.
Okay.
Okay. But so if you stop right there and
I did catch myself halfway through something the other day and I threw it the rest away.
Yeah.
I don't need this. This isn't what I right. want.
So. Yeah. That's not a bad thing at all. But that's where you stop and say, okay, I'm done eating. I've thrown it away. Now, why did I start?
Okay.
And you just take a minute and you thought download or you think through it or whatever. You do your recovery worksheet. And part of that recovery.
The best about doing those, which
right, but that's the perfect time to do it is right then, because right there, that last question is, what would I do next time?
Okay,
and that helps you plan for, you know, at least something new to try next time you find yourself in an, you know, overeating,
okay,
in the pantry after work or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing I've seen people do is they'll tape a blank recovery worksheet to the pantry door.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, all right, if I go in there, I'm going in, but I'm doing this too.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or they see it on the pantry door and they go, no, I don't feel like doing that. I'm out.
Yeah. Not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Seriously. But I thought that was brilliant. I think it wasn't on her pantry door. It was on her refrigerator. I thought that was brilliant. I thought that's awesome.
More for the pantry.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Okay.
And I have one other question if you have a minute yet.
Sure.
Like, I know when my plus two is coming, you know, I get the sigh and stuff. And then lately I've found myself like arguing with it, not wanting it to come. And stuff and like going no, or oh, these last few bites, or you know, mm-hmm. telling myself, oh, it's a salad, it's, you know, and continuing to eat it instead of just putting it away or throw it away. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a good thought?
I argue with mine almost every day.
Okay.
I just don't let it win most of the time. Sometimes.
So it's basically just, but, you know, telling myself.
Yep.
It's time.
Yep.
Okay.
This is the rest of this food is not worth what I'm giving up for it. Basically, what I tell myself is I have a goal. You know, my goal is to lose. Betsy and Mary Jo were laughing at me. We set goals for camp. Mm-hmm. You know, what do we want to do by camp? And I want to lose 6 pounds by camp, which is, you know, April 10th, I think, or 11th or something like that. They laughed at me because it wasn't 5 and it wasn't 10 and it wasn't, you know, it was this really odd 6 number. So I set that goal. And then when I'm eating and I hear, I can't believe I'm at plus 2 yet. I know I'm at plus 2. Why am I, you know, and there's still food left. When I start having that negotiation in my head, I remind myself that I want to lose 6 pounds by camp.
Okay.
You know what? If I eat the rest of this, I'm that much further away from that 6 pounds by camp.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one, because Missy, who was Missy, or somebody put something out there about setting a goal for like April 1st, and I thought that I wanted to lose 8 pounds by then.
Yeah.
So that'll be a way to remind myself in those moments that I want to do that.
Yep, and then it just becomes a decision point. You know, which do you want more, the rest of the food that's on your plate or 8 pounds by April 1st?
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Does
that help?
Yes, it does a lot. Yeah.
All right.
A lot. Thank you. Thanks for letting me jump on at the last minute.
You're welcome. I'm glad you did.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, y'all. That's it. I hope you have a great evening and I will see you all soon. Bye.